Shows it's recording. All right, did that change for you, Sue?
Okay. All right. Okay, Beth Larson's up.
Yeah, everybody else is in.
Okay, very good. Perfect. Okay.
Get to hear your fan again there, Dave, on your computer.
Talking?
Yeah, no, we aren't talking yet.
Okay.
Suzanne. And also, just a reminder, everybody, on that bottom left-hand side, you'll see that mute button. So if you're not talking, it's easiest if you just have that, if you're muted all the time until you're ready to talk.
I don't see that.
You drag your mouse kind of to the bottom of that screen.
Okay.
And then there should be a bar that pulls up. And on the left-hand side, it'll say mute.
I got it. Thank you.
We get a flag again.
Nice. Okay. Unfortunately, I now cannot see the time, but I think it was 7 o'clock, correct?
Yeah, I have 6:59. The only other thing is we got to, I'm going to just stop this for a quick second because I don't think Angel ever came in here. Let me just see if this is Angel here. Hey, Angel, if you're in here as an attendee, raise your hand. And then if you are the East Glenville FD person here. Oh, okay. So let me do this. I'm going to unmute you. Oh. All right. So Angel.
Oh. I got it now. Can you hear
me? Okay. Yep. I'm going to just change. I'm going to promote you to a panelist. All right. There you go. So now you're over with the rest of us.
Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, I got you now. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. We have everybody. Was the chief there and was the president there?
I'm here.
Yep, John's here.
Okay, awesome. Let us start the meeting. We'll call it to order. Ross, can you, there we go. We raised the flag and we ready?
All right, we are.
Okay. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right. So, for the notes, can we recognize the visitors?
Yeah. And we only have Wendy besides the head. As an attendee, you just have Wendy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's all of us normal folks. Mike Boyce Claire is in here too, but he's the assistant chief, so.
Yeah.
And we have now, two of the officers, correct?
Not right now, you do not have any other officers besides the two chiefs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. And did everybody get a chance to take a look at last month's meeting minutes? Any changes, revisions?
I have a question. I'm not muted, right?
Nope.
On the meeting minutes from last month, if we go to page 6 in there, under the committee reports, I'm curious about the narrative here of the accident review board. Can somebody explain that to me?
I got to pull it up. We didn't have an accident review board. There was an accident that night. Clem sent me the info, and I actually forgot to contact anybody. So the accident review board hasn't met for it yet.
Okay, but it says in the minutes that Commissioner Larson and Thornhill contacted and reviewed.
Well, I was originally contacted the night of the incident because I don't want to speak for Clem, but I think he thought I was still on that committee because I was when he was a commissioner. And he had told me what happened. And I had, you know, usually at that time, the individual is taken off the road. And I said to him that I would talk to the Ross the next day because it was like 9:45 at night. But as far as I was concerned, I thought with everything going on with the emergency situation that I wanted him to stay on the road until further notice. The next morning, I called Ross, gave him the information. And Ross, I believe you conferred with me that Clem should stay on the road. And then I kind of passed it off to you.
Yep.
Is that how you recollect? Okay.
So, yeah. So you had given me the info and then I was awaiting essentially the narrative, which I hadn't received yet, so I could get the review board together.
Because we need a narrative from the chief and the assistant chief Carr.
Correct.
Yes.
But as I understood it, the narrative had been sent to you and it was supposed to go to Angel and be distributed. And then I'm curious is that if we have this committee, and this is no disrespect, Commissioner, but if you're not a member of it, what are we doing handling it in some way like this? I'm a bit confused.
To me, you're addressing that?
Well, I'm addressing it to the general. I mean, is that okay that we're doing this and just, you know, whatever? Because
no.
The understanding that I had was that because the two chiefs were involved, it was going to fall to myself, President LeBate, Chairman Thornhill, and Chief Boisclair as reviewing and doing this. And
And that is accurate. That's correct.
Yeah, but it said that, you know, supposedly we're supposed to be sent out the narratives and all this other stuff. And then when I'm reading the minutes tell me that two people have been contacted and reviewed it.
Would not be accurate. And the contact that I had, I received that actually after the meeting last month. Clem sent me his narrative. That was after last month's meeting. And actually, it's on me. I forgot to follow up with everybody on that.
Do you have Assistant Chief Carr's narrative?
Let me find the one that comes.
Okay.
I did not contact Rich for it. He was inside the building and the car was parked. So I wasn't sure what he was going to, what you want him to write other than he parked the car.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know that, Chief.
Inside, it was all the vehicles were parked. It was me backing into the
spot. It was you backing up. Okay.
Yeah, it was all me. I wish I could share it, but I can't.
Okay, then what I guess is this is okay by everybody. We're all okay with it all, and that's the way it...
Well, I think the word reviewed should be taken out.
Yeah, reviewed was probably a bad, or not the right word, I guess.
Yeah, I think if we take that out, that it has been what the report that you need, Commissioner Thornhill, has been given to you, correct?
Yeah, so I got, all right, so I received that 8:35 on Monday 4:20. So it was just after the meeting. So let me forward this out. So Mike, I'll send that to you. I'll send that to President LaBrie and Mike Boisclair. And then the four of us can get together and discuss in the next couple days. Would that work for you?
My question was just reading this. It wasn't what I had understood was either going on or taking place. That's all. And I just, that's it. I mean, and I thought as being part of the committee that, it was kind of interesting that I hadn't heard anything. So, but that's okay.
As a bystander, this is Suzanne, as a person just sitting on and listening to all this, shouldn't we have a report of that in as a matter of record?
Correct.
Yes. The next month there should be an addendum to this? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There should be. We need, the Accident Review Board needs to provide a report.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And make a recommendation, correct?
Yeah, if there's a one to be made. Yes.
Right, correct.
Yep.
Well, I don't have an opinion. That's not my point. My point is I just I thought there was a process going in. Apparently, there isn't. That's all.
There wasn't.
So I'll just strike reviewed, and then you want me to put narrative to be distributed to Accident Review Board?
Well, I have no idea what needs to be done. I just was, it wasn't what I thought was going to happen, and nothing did happen. So it's just I'm questioning. That's all.
Okay.
Well, Ross, each member of the Accident Review Board should get a copy of that narrative.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. So if you forward that to, is that your response? You can just forward that yourself, can't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you guys will do like a Zoom meeting and do the review.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. So then I'll put and board to review. Accident and board to review.
Accident review board.
Yeah.
To review.
Does anyone have any other updates? And if I didn't hear anyone else say that they were had any other updates, does anyone wish to adopt that as amended?
I make a motion to do that as amended.
I'll second.
Dave?
Oh, yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's done. And now we get to hear I read through it. It looked very, very nice, very condensed. I liked it. So chief's report.
Excellent. So as you see, it's got the April stats on there. We had 51 calls total for the month of April, 20 fire calls, 31 EMS calls. During the month of April, it was a slight decline in numbers, which we were seeing pretty much all across upstate New York. When talking with the UCC on a weekly emergency management call, that was kind of the trend. our April top responders, Bill Lamb, myself, Wendy, Len, and Sue, for a total calls of 216 year to date, 129 EMS and 87 fire. Our top responders for the year are there. And then again, just trying to highlight our drills to the membership, to where we are with drills. Chief Boyce Claire with 10, Sue at 10, Bob Moore with 10. They're our top ones. And we have another six that are in that 9 to 8 category. So right where they should be, and hopefully spurring members on to get their training done. Our apparatus and equipment. Probably the big thing that's going to be happening this month is the rotation of the fleet over to the town garage for the New York State inspections. That starts tomorrow. We'll be rotating vehicles out. The crews have been doing an excellent job of deconning and wiping down the apparatus and trucks in between each one of the responses we do. Again, thanks to Ross for taking the trucks down to Schenectady Community College to get them deconned on the Tuesdays when they were down there spraying the trucks. It's been a great help in making sure that all the apparatus is clean and ready to respond. One hurdle we had this month was with the I'm Responding, which is the software that we utilize to see who's coming to a call, plus all of our dispatch information that shows on our phones or on our iPads in the chief's vehicles and apparatus. Something happened where we were not receiving any of the dispatch information until we called back in service. I reached out to the UCC, kind of questioned as to what may have changed. They denied anything had changed and said it must be on our end. Ross and I contacted I Am Responding directly and talked to them as their technical people dove into it. Turns out it was on the UCC end, and it took about 2 weeks of emails. After every call, I had to screenshot all the information, what was showing up or where it wasn't showing up. And then we finally came to a resolution here within this past week, so which is good, especially with everything going on. They had COVID questions in there that the dispatchers were asking. So before we respond to a call, we would know if they were symptomatic of having any of those types of symptoms. So we certainly want that information before getting to the call, not afterwards. So we're glad to see that that has been rectified. As far as apparatus, not much has changed. Get down to 236 is probably our big apparatus to deal with this month, especially this week, actually. The pump gauge is not reading properly. That is part of the UL test that when it failed, that's a fail item. There's a new one on order. It's not in yet, and they're scheduled to be back here on Thursday. So we're actually just swapping out with another gauge. So when UL comes on Thursday, since he's passing through town, it will get checked off and we'll get our UL inspection. Then we may just have to have Van Roll come back and put the new gauge in once it arrives. We have an air fault dash light. We have a new sensor ordered. Same thing with the driver's side rear SCBA seat. Needed some hardware to be ordered to have that operate properly. And it just seems like, I know my personal experience with shipping right now, things are taking a lot longer to arrive. And we're seeing the same thing on the apparatus. People are pretty much making parts as they're needed. So we're still waiting for those pieces to come in. The fog light that's out, hopefully the town will take care of that when it does its New York State inspection. And then the radio in 236 defaults to channel 1. We actually transmit on channel 7. So we're contacting the radio repair, and I think they were like a month and a half out before they could get here. 232, we're still sourcing estimates for the new light bar and console, which again had times when responding to emergencies that the lights and sirens would not work. The new item on this one is the winches out of service. We had probably a good sized brush fire in Indian Meadows this past month, and one of the pickup trucks got a little bogged down in the mud, and when they tried to pull it out, actually snapped the winch cable. So we're sourcing prices for that as well. And I hope we're safe that the salter has been removed from that truck. I'm really hopeful. I put on there that the brackets remain mainly for the members. They do stick out of the back of the truck a little bit. We're looking at some things just to make them a little bit more visible so someone doesn't catch the side of their head on as they're walking around the truck. with equipment. We ordered some non-contact thermometers with everything going on. That way we can get some quick temperature readings of patients. So those are on in the chief's cars and on 230. And they've already been put to use in the field. The second life pack that we ordered, purchased, that is in service. We'll actually be training on that tomorrow night. And looking down here, I think everything else is pretty much the same as far as equipment. The other big news we have is in training. We started a couple weeks ago and talked with Assistant Chief Boyce Claire and Carr. We decided it was time to kind of get back into the groove of things a little bit. We're responding to the calls. We're in the fire truck. We're going to fire. We're going to EMS calls. And we just need to get back to training. We need to come up with a way to do it that's effective with the current restrictions. So a couple weeks ago, we started kind of doing a crawl, walk, run approach. We started with our probationary firefighters. There's only a handful of those. We can do those in small groups spaced out in the firehouse, but start to get those members back into the swing of things and getting them trained. That went really well, thanks to the officers, and they're still doing their training. And then tomorrow night, we're going to start doing our in-person drills at the firehouse again. This is taking lesson planning to a whole new level with the officers. There's a lot of new components to this. One is that the members had to sign up by last Friday so that we knew how many members were attending so we could assign them to groups and tell them what room they're going to go to when they arrive at the station. So we'll have three groups, one in the apparatus bay, one in the meeting room, and one in the classroom. So this will help kind of limit that congregating of large groups. They'll all be small numbers, less than 10 in each group. And then they're going to rotate a certain direction from the station so that we're not passing head on in the hallways as they rotate the different groups. Plus we've allowed for decon time in between each station to wipe everything down before moving to the next station. So looking forward to see how this is going to work tomorrow. I think the officers put in a lot of time and put a lot of thought into this and looking for it to be very successful. Things that will be different is there'll be no food afterwards. Normally we have drill refreshments afterwards. We're curtailing that. And again, it's if you didn't sign up for the drill, then you just can't show up because that throws our numbers off. For anyone, any member that is hesitant to show up or just doesn't feel comfortable, or even scheduling wise, we're still offering an online drill. So if someone feels that it's too soon, that they're just not comfortable with it, they can still get their drill credit online and still participate in that manner. So like I said, I think it's going to be a great step to moving back towards what is potentially going to be our new normal. Our driver pump operator training, where we take the members out that are qualified drivers and test them on the pumps. We're a little bit behind schedule on that with everything going on. We'll start to move forward with that. A lot of that training kind of falls into the same category like we just outlined for the drills. Those members have to sign up beforehand. It's usually in a group of five or less, and they're usually spaced out because they're each working on a separate truck. So we're going to move forward with that as well and get those refresher trainings in place. I attended the Zoom meeting. I think some of the other commissioners did with the fleet mapping system. I thought that was a great, also another great step forward with the operations. I did receive that PowerPoint that we went over with Kevin Spahn and looking to give that out to the officers and to the members so that they're aware of the new radio system as it advances. Going down to a purchase request. Again, things are a little bit slow to come in, but we are slowly receiving all those orders in. This is especially for Jeff. We received five more of the 511 Parkers from MES that were ordered last year. So we'll probably receive an invoice for that one. The only new request I have for this month is some brush fire rakes. We had a couple small brush fires this past month, and these are special rakes for forestry firefighting. It's a kind of a steel sawtooth blade, if you will, that slides down over the handle, so they're easy to store and helps stir up the soil and pine needles, leaves of that nature. So as we're wetting things down, we can turn it over. So I asked for four of those from the fire store. I have on here a 4-gas metering kit. We have the meter on 235 that is out of service. I'm going to recommend that we hold off on purchasing that, that there may be an avenue for a corporate donation, as I'm working on that avenue. Physicals and fit tests, there's been no change. Under medical, we have a lot of information. This is really for the membership about the different medical items that are coming up with the COVID. First, I wanted to remind everyone that the proper PPE, whether it's firefighting, car accidents, or medical calls, is key to protecting our members. That's our last line of defense, is that gear, and so we need to use it properly. But in addition to that, we also had some members and our supervisor, Chris Ketsley, that donated different masks to the fire department for use. So we had John Labrie and Jeannie Foote. Myself were able to donate some surgical masks, and then Chris Ketsley was able to source some N95 masks. So I've sent thank yous to all those people, thanking them for their contributions to the department and to help us serve our residents. The other new thing is a Mohawk ambulance, who normally responds for a majority of our EMS calls. If we have a patient that they does not want to go to the hospital, typically they would just sign a release piece of paper that says that they were offered to go to the hospital, but they're choosing not to at this time, and nobody was ever charged. Now Mohawk Ambulance is charging for that service, for responding out. I imagine, again, it's in the lines of the telemedicine. You know, they're encouraging more people to stay at home, convalesce at home, and not go to the hospital. And so these transporting agencies are probably in a spot where they're still paying personnel and responding out, but not getting as much return. So I believe the insurance companies must be allowing them to do some soft billing or some billing for those refusals. So for us, it's not a big change, other than if someone's going to not go to the hospital, they're more than likely be signing the transporting agency's release instead of East Glenville's. I think everything else is pretty much the same from last month. But a couple more under upcoming events, which is nice to see. Last month was kind of depressing with no events on there. So we are seeing the Zoom meetings like tonight, which is excellent. We had an EMS webinar, the in-person drill. Again, emphasize that sign-up is required. There's just no walk-ins. And then we're still hopeful to do our live fire at the Saratoga Training Center in June. So with all that, I know it was a condensed report, but I had down here under the chief's comments that even though it was what seemed like a short month, the members were extremely busy. We had a working garage fire in Outlaws. We did the two alarm fires in Scotia. We had a cover company for Burnt Hills when they had a working fire in Boston Lake. We had, including that one two-alarm fire, 3 burn patients this past month, plus that large brush fire. And that's in addition to all the normal calls that we respond to, in addition to the birthday details, truck checks, and the online training that's been going on. So it's, again, credit to the members and officers, the time that they give to the department and the community. Once we get back up and running, I keep telling everybody, and I know I mentioned this before at the board meeting, it's going to be the year of PPE and gear. As we have been looking more into our gear, we see more and more that is going to be coming due or expired this year. In addition to our emergency escape systems, which were purchased 10 years ago, they're approaching their end of service life. So I'll have to start making plans for those here later in the year. With that, that is all I have. Is there anything I missed or anything I can answer?
Clem, I have a question for you. Sure. Prior to tomorrow's drill. You were having them do everything from I am responding or that kind of thing from their computers.
Mm-hmm.
What changed from, why are you able to do a live drill tomorrow? What has changed? What rigs or whatever have you gotten? What have they set?
There's been a couple things. And as this pandemic has progressed, if you recall when it first started, you would hear about fire departments shutting down.
Right.
Test positive. That's no longer the case. If firefighter tests positive, they're still clear to come to work. So a lot of that has changed. Again, like we spent the one day answering EMS calls, two brush fires, and then a house fire. Six to 7 hours together in the firehouse, cleaning, doing everything we can as safely as we can. And then it was just kind of at some point we need to kind of get back into actually training the members. We're approaching 6 months into the year and we haven't touched a hose yet during a training event.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point that becomes a more of a safety issue than it is being some responsible training in the firehouse. So that's why I decided to give this a try. We're still keeping with the lower numbers with the deconning and then rotating groups. So it's kind of the same as the town has rolled out kind of a soft opening, trying to get back to normal and trying to do those same things, business continuity, just trying to get us back into accomplishing all the goals we need to accomplish while still doing it properly and safely.
Do you see them, whoever is directing this, having in the near future, letting you do more, or do you think this will be where you'll be for quite a while?
I think this is going to be where we're going to be for a little while. I mean, if I could answer that question with whole certainty, I'd probably have a much bigger office. All I think we can do is kind of take the information we're getting, just like everybody else, and seeing, where the metrics are and what is safe at the time to do it.
Okay, I just was curious because I really didn't know.
Yep, as a question, I've seen on social media, there's a lot of departments that are trying to figure out how to do this, how to get back into it, and how everybody's. Nobody's done this before. We've never, the industry's never gone through this.
Right.
So certainly uncharted waters. I think we're making the best decisions with the information we have at hand. Will we get it all right? I probably not, but I think we're doing the best, making the best decisions with the best information we have.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Okay, well, thank you, Chief.
Welcome.
We'll be moving on to the President's Report.
Okay, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Ross, if I click on share screen, does that put up my report?
Yeah, it should. I just stopped sharing mine.
Okay. Okay, did that go up?
Yes.
Okay, good evening, everybody. This will be quick. You can see from the top number totals, our new members sworn in, voted in, resignations and dismissals are all zeros, but the year-to-date numbers are all on the right side. We do have two members. They're on a leave of absence due to mobilizations on the COVID response, Richard Nicholas. He's assigned to FEMA. Now, he has been local, but they've got him pretty busy, so I know he has long days that he ends up working with them. And Sean is actually out of the town. He was originally out in Utica, and then now he's out in Binghamton. I spoke with him a couple weeks ago. They've got him handing out supplies, redeploying supplies out to people who need them and the agencies. Still undetermined on when both of those members will be released, but we have two members mobilized in support of COVID. The Class A uniforms, we got the approval from the commissioners previously to donate them. Wendy then brought up a very good point in an organization, the Bereavement Uniform Program. This is an organization that takes, accepts uniform donations from agencies and makes them available to any members' families when the member passes away. Should they not have a fire department uniform, the deceased member can then be presented in a fire department uniform for their wake and then their burial. So we saw that as an excellent organization to support. Beth, I sent you that email. Yes. About that. You gave me the approval. So we changed, instead of giving it locally, we decided to go ahead and donate it to them. Kevin is going to be working on removing the patches, and then we'll go ahead and send those uniforms over to the BUP. Again, all the work on the rec room is on hold until the shutdown is over. The scholarship program, we've received three submissions. We're reviewing those. We did receive a bunch more letters from the community. Beth even got one from your grandson that's up on the bulletin board.
Oh, okay.
Some of these letters, I encourage people that if you're in the firehouse to go ahead and take a look at the bulletin board. Some of them are very comical. You could tell the child wrote the letter because of the way it was written, that a parent wasn't dictating what to write, which means it's coming from the kid. Even as much as the one letter that stated, you drove by and you waved to my friend, thank you.
Oh.
Which goes ahead and tells us as an agency, those little things are seen in the community and it does count. So I did scan in the first batch and sent that out to the membership to tell them, great job. I've got a second batch of letters I need to scan in again and send out. But those things are being seen out there. And we actually did receive one check donation from a member who was very appreciative of the birthday ride-by. Again, a thank you to Chief and the officers for coordinating and performing all these ride-bys. The totals for March and April were 39, which Chief will tell you this number ended up being a lot larger than we thought it was going to be. We're probably already hit 50 if you add in the totals for what's occurred this month, but I'm not going to report a number on that until after the month is over. And it's amazing what the community, how much they appreciated just something simple as, you know, driving the engine by. And of course, everybody comes out because they're wondering why there's a siren in their neighborhood. I'll be planning to do the June company meeting on Zoom. But as we go forward, who should I coordinate with on when we should reintroduce having the company meetings back at the firehouse in the future? Would I coordinate that through Chief, or do I do that through the commissioners?
Well, just speaking as a commissioner, I know it's ultimately up to us, but it would probably be coordinated back through, we would probably communicate that back through the chief. Is that accurate, Dave, and anybody else?
I would think so, that would be a way that the use of the building.
That's
that
correct.
We could decide when that's good. And I'm going to address some of that in my report tonight.
Okay, because I mean, I want to make sure that we're hit the correct phases and guidelines and milestones. Sure. And appropriate precautions. And I know before we even have a meeting back on site again, I'm going to have to come up with some sort of guideline, the same way Chief has for the drills. But right now, I don't see the company meetings as being critical to want to rush to have these back in the building again. But eventually, we are going to want to introduce them back into the building. So I just want to make sure I'm following the right mindset on how to do that.
I think that would be a good plan.
Okay. Thank you. And as for upcoming events, unfortunately, we did get notice from Scotia that they did cancel their Memorial Day parade. And that's all we've got for that. So unless there's any questions, that's the president's report.
I would just like to make a comment, John, to you and to Chief Shemakowski. You had responded to a call over here on Via Maria. I think it was Mother's Day, Chief, if I remember correctly. My neighbor had called me, and it's funny when you're a commissioner, they think you know all what to do all the time. He called me and said his carbon monoxide detector was going off, and he changed the battery and it was still going off, and he hated to call the fire company out on such a thing and didn't want to make a bigger deal about it. And I said, you need to call them. And afterwards you guys responded, and I called them to check on them to see if they were doing okay. And they were just so impressed with all of you. The response that you gave, the efficiency by which all of you responded, checked them out, and gave them a new carbon monoxide detector. So I just wanted to let you know that it was very much appreciated by them.
Well, thank you. That's always good to hear.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
And I just bought a new carbon monoxide detector myself, Chief, but that's okay.
You should have called.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, that's all I had, unless there are any other questions.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'm really glad that Wendy suggested the Class A uniform. I think that's a nice program to be a part of.
I honestly didn't even know about it. She brought it up. We looked into it real quick, and it was a no-brainer.
Much better than going to the Salvation Army or someplace.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks for taking care of that, John.
Not easy day.
Yeah.
I just have a question. We don't have a new member come before us this month. We did last month, and I can't remember what we did. But you know the sheets with the information on them, would they be able to be put in front of us as this, you know, as the minutes are, or the report is from the president? Can we?
Yes, in fact, I believe that's what I had done on our
last month.
Yep, our last member, I had scanned it in ahead of time and emailed it to the commissioner's mailbox.
Okay.
So all of you should have had that PDF.
Mm-hmm. And I voted, but I couldn't remember what
it might have gone to your spam, Suzanne. How do you like that for technology success?
No fair. You're really the guy that does that. No fair.
But yes, you did. You did vote on him. You accepted him.
Yeah, but I couldn't remember how we did it.
He's pending his physical, so it stopped again until he can get a physical.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. So we're now moving on to the treasurer's report.
John, you're going to stop sharing your...
I'll be able to share mine.
I'm trying... Okay. I think I did it.
You did.
Am I sharing, Mike? Can people see my report?
No.
Oh, you can see your name.
Well, that's great. Well, I can see my report. It looks great. Hang on a second. I'm hitting the thing that says share screen. Ross, what am I doing wrong?
No, that's, you're hitting the right thing.
Jeff, you're going to get a pane that comes up, and then you have to, okay, there it is.
Hey.
Okay, the treasurer's report's pretty non-eventful this month. I'm just going to sort of scroll down. If anybody has any questions, you know, feel free to stop me. The revenue's $135.57. This just shows the activity in the general budget bank accounts, showing all of the bills that were paid. This is just showing the reserve accounts. The big minus is on here. I bought a commingled United States Treasury bill. It's a $960,000 face. The interest rate is, I mean, they're just, everything is pathetic right now. Even the U.S. Treasury bill, 0.1% is the rate of return. However, that is still three times better than what we can make in the bank. So just playing the interest rate game, this is still a better investment versus keeping it into the bank. If I had it at KeyBank, KeyBank is 0.01%, so it's 10 times better than KeyBank. It's a 90-day treasury bill, so the money won't be tied up at that low rate for too long, just in case the T-bill rates do end up increasing. This just shows our financial position as of April 30th. Cash flow analysis. Again, it's basically the exact same stuff that you see every month. No budgetary amendments are required. Nothing is over budget at this point in time. The LOSEP activity, the same accounts payable. Clem said that we just received 5 more of those high-vis response codes. This says 25. It's actually 7 that were still outstanding. So I anticipate 2 more that still have to come in before I will receive a bill. This is just a listing of everything that's been approved through last month and a copy of tonight's abstract. Again, the only thing with the abstract was I still want to get a definitive answer on whether we're allowed to purchase food for after calls. That's an issue that's, you know, been a sticking point for a lot of people for a lot of years, but I had sent everybody a copy of that question and answer type thing that I had had from long ago, which just causes me to believe that it may not be an allowable expense. I certainly would support it if it's allowed, because I think that it's certainly appreciated by the fatigued members to get a little nourishment. But again, I think we need to get a definitive answer before we can start making it any kind of a regular practice of doing.
Now, Jeff, so, that document that you sent us was from several years ago.
Oh, God, yeah. Alan Hevesy, I think, was the comptroller.
Yeah.
I think that's
right.
Yeah, but
What would be the procedure for us to find? I mean, in my training, I don't remember that being addressed. I don't know, Dave.
They sort of brought that up at the training on Saturday. There was a little bit of conversation about that from one of the attorneys, and there was sort of like, kind of, you know, you want donuts and coffee, that's okay. Other stuff, they were kind of hesitant on, at least from what I understood when they were talking. But in the end, what they did say is that if you have a question, then the controller's office is where you go to get the answer.
So should we pursue that?
It's up to you. I mean, but that's kind of what I took away from the session and the training. Like I said, they talked about it a little bit, and they said coffee, donuts, yeah, okay, that sort of thing, but not to turn it into a whatever. That was sort of the way it went. But like I said, if you want a definitive answer, they suggested the controller's office.
What have we done in the past, Jeff? What kind of bills have you, I mean, how did it get paid for? A credit card?
Yeah, it was put on Clem's credit card. This was after one of the second alarm fires in Scotia. It started at 6 o'clock in the morning. So everyone woke up from a night of sleep and went to work. Sure. So once everything was over with, Clem was nice enough to run down to Mickey D's and get, you know, a lot of the egg sandwiches and whatnot. And he put it on his credit card.
Right.
Which, I mean, just brings the issue back into the forefront. What we have done in the past is the district hasn't purchased food. We have always back-billed the company, because the company certainly is entitled to, you know, spend their funds on refreshments and stuff like that. But, you know, the question keeps coming up, you know, why can't the district buy it? And like you said, it's difficult to find a definitive answer in any of our books. Commissioner Bartlett just said that it was discussed somewhat. In the item that I had sent to everybody, it did say that light refreshments could be served, which was coffee, tea, and cake. I guess donuts can be considered a part of cake. I just don't want to be stepping over a line and putting the board in jeopardy, that's all. So, I mean, I certainly have no problem reaching out to the state comptroller's office and ask for, you know, what is permissible. And if they say nothing, then the answer will be nothing, and we'll have to deal with the company on that again. And we can always seek reimbursement from the company in the future if this is considered an unallowable expenditure. And Clem, you had asked one thing once before. I guess the water and the Gatorade that are on the trucks would be considered the light refreshments, like coffee and tea. You know, water and Gatorade, I think, would fall under the coffee and tea allowability. That's just a guess, of course, but it seems like it would fall under that.
Yeah, look at that, kind of just the overall rehab. And then the other thing that happened on this particular occasion was that the company was going to step and go to Price Chopper and make some food. But under the circumstances we're dealing with now, I didn't feel that that was appropriate. Again, we're trying to stay away from those type things. And I felt it was better to go to someplace that we could get individually wrapped, like a breakfast bagel or sandwich or something like that. So that way there wasn't any shared utensils or wasn't anything like that in the kitchen. Yeah. Take your sandwich and your wrapper and go off into, you know, personal space, for lack of a better term, and have that. And again, people woke up, went to work, and then we were covering the station and Thomas Corner station. So that was also part of that too, was due to those circumstances.
Because when I read that, it did kind of, I thought, left the door open for unusual circumstances. I don't know exactly what the phrase was. And well,
the unusual circumstances is when you're allowed to provide the light refreshments.
Okay. I think we need to have you reach out and get a definitive.
Okay. Policy. I mean, I can very easily draft up a letter and I'll send it out to the state comptroller's office. I figure I'll get a reply, you know, this time next year. You know, but
well, I certainly think when under those circumstances, I mean, I personally feel like I don't have a problem with buying them a food after what they went through, but I don't want to do anything that's against the law. You know, we want to be within the regs of the state, and
right, that's why I want to pursue it and get a definitive answer. And again, right. If the answer comes back that we're not allowed to do that, then we'll just backbill the fire company. And again, that's what we've done historically in the past. Whenever there'd been any food for after a fire, it was always dealt with by the fire company. The district was never involved. The district is somewhat involved because it was placed on the credit card. That's why
right. This
comes now to an ability for us to get a definitive answer to find out what we are permitted to supply given those circumstances. And I think it's a really good to get an answer on.
Suzanne, didn't the ladies, or I know the ladies are auxiliary, we've kind of suspended operation just because of the situation we find ourselves, but didn't the ladies do something with food for the firefighters when they had a fire or a call like that?
I've been on a lot of those calls and for Code 7, and we've always used a credit card that we had the use of, and I don't know who it was issued to, but it was through the company. And
okay.
There were a couple of times where I ran and got stuff, and I charged it to my credit card, and then the ladies auxiliary put it to the company, and I got my money that way.
Those
were the few times when they weren't called, you know, right. But it was necessary to have something.
And that was normally they would go get supplies and prepare it. We have accounts at Price Chopper in Hannaford where it's direct billed. The company doesn't have any credit cards that I'm aware of, do they, John?
No, I don't think so.
No, the company does not have a credit card.
Right. So it's usually on account. And what we were looking for this time, we couldn't do it on an account.
Well, we were using a credit card. So who was it issued to then?
It'd been a personal credit card. And then the individual just got reimbursed. And then they paid their personal credit card with the money they got reimbursed. That's all.
Yeah, but when we went shopping, one time we
that was our charge account card. That wasn't really a credit card. That was our store account card for Hannaford.
Yeah, it's a direct.
Looked like a credit card. Sure, it looked like a credit card.
And we went shopping at Price Chopper and Dunkin' Donuts for the coffee. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was just an ID card that we had. It wasn't really a credit card, but it was our store account card.
Okay.
So, same concept.
Yeah.
Is this still an appropriate time to talk about this issue, I guess, Dave, or is it something we're going to address later on? Because I'll want to throw out a couple cents.
Well, no, I would say it was sort of brought to us by the treasurer. We're in the treasurer's report.
Okay.
It's a good time to go ahead.
Discuss. All right. So this was something when I was chief, I had kind of had in the back of my head, and I know I had conversation with Jeff multiple times on it. Because I always felt that it was really the district's responsibility to provide nourishment and stuff while we're essentially under the employ of the district. And that's any time that we're at one of these calls, right? Or we're even at drills. I mean, I know other districts provide the food at drills. I know, and that can certainly be debated, but, and I know we're trying to figure out, you know, what we can do. And I guess I would just put to the controller's office, because I think it would be hard to not say that, you know, if you have essentially employees who, you know, are working multi-hour events, you know, if they were working, you know, let's say off-site someplace, they would be provided per diem or something of that nature. So I guess I just want to make sure I have absolutely no problem with that. As a matter of fact, I think it should fall on the district. So that's just where my mindset is, that it seemingly is one of those things that, and if it's not current controller stuff, then I, you know, I'd probably have a conversation with our local legislators to have them put something forth to get that to switch over. Because it, you know, again, the firefighters are doing, you know, and you guys all know this, and I think agree, you know, all doing a difficult job, and certainly in those circumstances, you know, it's not an area where we need to be cutting corners, because it's not like we're ordering a lobster and steak breakfast for everybody. You know, it's and I would almost say that, you know, you talk to any lawyer, they're going to give you different a different opinion on what light refreshments equals.
So. Well, I think, Ross, it's kind of like why we have auditors, is because it's certain fire departments don't follow the rules like that. And then they go, and the light refreshments becomes a lot more than that. And so right. I think that's why, just basically, you know, firefighting and what you need there, and the light refreshments is going probably a big deal for them.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure you have departments that are taking advantage of that. So anyway, yeah, I just wanted to throw my two cents out. Not that they're worth anything, but it's definitely something I've discussed with Jeff before. I've tried to bring it up to the guy, the lawyer from the Association of Fire Districts, never got back to me. So
Terry Hannigan?
Who's the, I think it was the main guy. He's out towards Rochester, apparently.
Oh. Oh, no.
I think it does start with a J. I think Joe something.
Well, Ross, maybe you and I can get together to draft up a letter to the comptroller's office then. Because, I mean, you have I'd certainly like to have your input as a member of the Board of Fire Commissioners versus just the treasurer's inquiry. Maybe the two of us can get together and, you know, try to draft up some kind of a letter asking the question.
Sure.
Can I be included in that?
I didn't understand what you said.
Can I be part of that too as the chief? I agree with that.
Certainly. Absolutely.
And I think it's going to be, as anything with, that it's going to be the right wording, as Ross has indicated, to convey our message.
Okay, I think that's great. So unless there's any other questions, that's basically the gist of my report.
I had a question, Jeff. We received the, I think via email, the bill from Altite Professional Doors.
Yes, I just forwarded that to the entire board earlier today.
All right. Do I have to do anything to add that at this point, or does that come later on?
That bill would have to be approved independent of the abstract, because it's not on the abstract. That would come under new business.
Under new business. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Any questions for the treasurer? Any other questions? Thank you to the three of you for drafting or starting to draft that letter. If you do need any input, we're here. Okay, so next would be, Beth.
Now this is gonna be short. Not too short. First item on my agenda here is that lawn care service has started. They came and did the first treatment. I see the bill is there. So I just wanted the board to know that that is underway. The second item is Precision Fencing came over and gave us a quote for the repairs on our fencing. They are still not able to complete any work, but hopefully if we go into phase one, and this, if I'm wrong, please correct me, but from what I see when I listen to the governor's reports, phase one is going to open with construction and manufacturing. And so they were able to come and give us a quote. It's in three parts. Two parts are from damage from the winter. Another third part is, and Angel reminded me of this, is along the opposite side from the gas station, along the exit side of the firehouse. When we were comparing bids a year ago, one of the companies that came didn't just look at what we asked them to check. She walked, it was a woman, she walked the whole property, and she pointed out that we had quite a few repairs that needed to be done on the exit side, repairs to the chain link on the right side of the fence and the exit side of the building. The repairs up by the gas station because the snow is plowed into that from our neighbor is $295. Back on the right fence, we had some damage. I'm assuming something with snow plowing or when we had that huge snowstorm, that is $857. And then the repairs for that whole section of fence on the exit side was $1,357. For a total of $2,527. And that's from Precision Fencing right here in, I guess it's Burn Hills. It's right over the line, I think, or maybe it's still in Glenville. They've done all our fence repair for us along. Angel did ask him if there's any way that we can reinforce the fence because of the snow issues. And he said there really isn't. I mean, the side with the gas station is just a matter of they plow the snow into our fence. That's what causes the problems. We've been in contact with them and they've been unresponsive to anything. The other one, I'm assuming something happened when we had the big snowstorm. I didn't notice it right away, but I did notice it once the snow melted. And the other side of the building, like I said, we had never asked Precision to take a look at that. The other company had pointed out those problems to us. So I'm going to recommend to the board that we accept the bid and that once the governor opens this up, Precision will have us on their list. The other thing is all type professional doors came in, did an inspection of all the doors, made some small repairs. I did, Brad was there and I did ask, Commissioner Thornhill to go over because he's an apparatus. And there, I know there were some issues with the remote, which I think he had fixed before they came, but I wanted him to be in that discussion with them. They also inspected all of our fire doors and that is done on a yearly basis. We did switch to this company because they have 24-hour response. The other company we were using did not. And I felt that with the firehouse, we need to have somebody that we can call at 2 o'clock in the morning when you guys come back from a call and the door doesn't work. I got a text message or a call from Commissioner Thornhill last week that there were ants in the snack location in the rec room. Angel contacted Pest Eliminator and he set up a time with Brad to come in. They sprayed for the ants there. And Angel and I had talked about maybe some relocation of where we store things, but I would want to do that once we could all come back in with your house steward and Brad and Angel and myself and see. I mean, I think Brad needs a better place to put some of his supplies and it's nothing urgent, but I think it's something that we can put on our list for the future. Hometown will be, Hometown Landscaping will be there in the next 2 weeks, depending upon the weather. Brad is going to be there while they're working. They brought out a sample of the rock that they were proposing to put on the property, and it pretty much matches what we already have there from the building out a little bit that Kulax had put in. I drove by in my car and looked at it, and it's not the real tiny stuff that Commissioner Thornhill had some concerns with, and it's not great big things either. It's nice size, and I think it's going to look nice. They're also going to put some around our new tree. The ice machine was cleaned and taken care of, and I thank Sue Desmian, the house steward, for taking that over. I was a little concerned. That has been put on Angel's master list for something that's going to be taken care of on a routine basis once a year. We have a new tree on the property. I don't know if anybody noticed. The town of Glenville had sent us a letter a while ago that to celebrate the 200th anniversary, all the firehouses were going to get a tree. And there was supposed to be a big ceremony that was all canceled because of what we're going through. And they said we should contact them about picking up the tree. So Angel sent an email to the contact person. We never heard anything back, but Angel and I were talking about it, and I contacted Brad, and I said, I'm going to ask Commissioner Thornhill if he could take the pickup truck from the firehouse and you guys could go down and get it. I said, it's going to be a lot for one person to get this tree. Well, I guess my expectations were that this tree would have like the big ball on the bottom and we dig this big hole. Jeff sent me an email that somebody had dropped off a tree by our mailbox, and it's like a little stick and it has a couple roots sticking out. So I was concerned that you got to plant that right away. Brad was nice enough to come down. I sat in my car and pointed where I wanted the tree planted, and he planted it. I don't know if it's going to survive, but the tree is there. Check it out. We have had an ongoing challenge in the building for cleaning supplies, disinfecting supplies. We're still on a wait list with Hilliard. Angel contacted Granger today. That would be not until August that we could get anything from them. I said to her, if they'll take a order, put it in. I mean, better to be on a list than not. I did gain some information that on Amazon, you could go to Procter & Gamble cleaning supplies, and that they have it for a disinfecting glass cleaner and for a regular disinfectant, and you mix it yourself. So I talked to Brad about it. I had Angel order it some, and also ordered spray bottles to put the mixture in. I said, when it comes in, he should label it. I'd like the chief to try it with the firefighters and see what your response is. I know we're low on Clorox wipes. We just can't find them. Now, Assistant Chief Beausclair, and we're on waiting list places, has just suggested, Angel, if you can make a note to try Restaurant Depot. Is that correct, Assistant Chief Beausclair?
Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure they had some the other day.
Okay, Restaurant Depot, Angel, if we can try them.
Yep, I'll try.
We know it's a problem, and we've been, Angel spent, I don't know how many hours just going through different places on websites, local stores, trying to contact them to see if anybody has any of that. And if you've been to the store yourself, you know sometimes there's just nothing on that particular shelf. Angel has scheduled Eastern to come in on the 28th. At 8 o'clock in the morning, Brad will be there. They're going to turn off the heat. I kind of delayed that because we've just had such cold weather, and get the AC going. So that's been scheduled. The other scheduled check is Capital Power, Wednesday, May 20th at 9 a.m. They're coming to check the check on the generators that are scheduled. And we have several campers and trailers in the back. All of the firefighters have called me or emailed me to let me know and ask if they could leave their vehicle or whatever it is there. It's been great, the contact, and I let Angel know so she knows whose property it is and when it's there and when it leaves. So that has worked out really great. The only other things I have are ongoing committees, security camera, and I'll let Commissioner Bartlett address that. The carbon monoxide, John LaBrie, I would hope that we would be ready to go once the governor opens this up, because construction and manufacturing are going to be allowed, and I'd really like to get this done. If he opens it up, I'd like it done within 30 days.
Yep, I've been going through my inventory list. I just got the signal wire in late last week. So I'm going to make sure I have all the materials ready to go so that when we get the green light,
That'd be great.
That I can start to work.
Because I agree with Chief Shemikowski. Everything takes longer to order to get it. It's just, I think the whole system is overloaded. So that would be great. And then the after Commissioner Bartlett talks about the security camera situation, if Commissioner Thornhill can discuss the concrete pad update. So I will turn it over to Commissioner Bartlett.
Okay, with the construction opening up, we'll be able to send out our letters and be able to have the schedule appointments for the vendors to come in and do a walkthrough so that they can be able to submit, you know, a proposal. And as soon as, I guess, as soon as that construction thing breaks, we'll send letters and get them in and get moving on it.
Thank you. Commissioner Thornhill.
Yeah, on the pad, I haven't gotten with the chief yet. So over the next month or two, we'll get doing that. And also, I want to explore possibly having the county or the town even put that in, because I think that's something that they may be willing to do. I know I had a conversation with Tom Coppola a year ago or so about it. And I think that was something that he may have been willing to get involved with. Just one other quick aside, I did fix, you got a call from, I think, the chief or something on the door number 7. And they had thought that there was a problem with the remote, but, so I went down, looked at it. And what had actually happened is there's an L bracket on the bottom of the door that controls or holds the sensor for the kind of the safety sensor on the bottom of those overhead doors. That L bracket had actually cut two of the wires that go to the remote at the top where the motor is. So I had fixed that, and that actually ended up fixing that issue. And then the overhead door folks came the next day.
Right. And thank you for doing that. Appreciate that.
Yeah, yes,
the chief contacted me, and then I contacted you because of the apparatus responsibility that you have on the board, and thank you very much for going over there. And it kind of prompted them, I think, to come down, because we've been trying to get them down here for quite a bit. The only other two things, we have upcoming projects besides the ones we just discussed. Flowright is scheduled sometime this spring to come in and clean out the grates in the apparatus bay. And the other thing is I've got that information on Clune Electric for the side lights on the entranceways. And I have all that stuff in a folder in the firehouse, so I did not put that on the agenda for tonight. I'll wait until I can probably get in there and sort through all that and then make a recommendation to the board. And that's the end of my report. How about that?
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you to everyone for that. Any other questions, anything? No, okay. Sort of covered this, but any other equipment updates? No?
Okay. I don't have any here. I've got something in computer, but Mike, did you have any equipment items?
No.
Okay. All right. Purchasing, we have the chief request, and we'll have of course, under new business, the door fencing, things like that. But was there any other purchases that we needed to speak about, Jeffrey?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you. Finance and budget?
Oh, yes, I don't think I don't have any report, but it's a little early to get ready for finance that relates to the budget, but that comes up in, say, July. So that's something to be thinking about and looking to see what you might want or what might you might not be able to get this year. Otherwise I have no report.
Okay. The one thing that was on our last meeting minutes, I was late sending Jeff a text, was the auditors. I'm assuming that didn't happen this week.
No, the audit is in full swing.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah. We're doing what's called a box audit, where I threw all the papers into a box and gave it to him. He's actually performing the audit offsite and going through all of the books and records. He gave me a list of, 20 things that he wanted, which took quite a while to gather up because it also included a disbursement sample. So I had to grab, a voucher out of every single month. He wanted all the bank statements, all the canceled checks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I gave that to him last week, and I have yet to receive any questions or inquiries, but I know there will be some coming. And I'm not sure if he's going to want to speak to a commissioner. He didn't make any mention to that at all through any of our correspondence. But if he does want to speak to a commissioner, I will get a hold of, whoever wants to speak to the auditors and have them give him a call. But at this point in time, the audit is absolutely in full swing.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you. I know the physicals are postponed, but anything under the medical line?
No. And when he gets in touch with me, then I'll start the signups and everything. What I just wanted to mention that on Saturday when we were having our training, one of the things that struck me was they were saying, these are the things that the board is responsible for. And they listed policies and then they said physicals and they said, you need to know what you expect in a physical. And I wrote that down and thought perhaps when we're going over our policies that maybe that would be one of the first ones we do. And perhaps we could jiggle it a little because I think maybe it's a little out of date. I don't know how everybody else feels.
I think that would be a good idea.
So I'll put that in my to-do list. Then legal insurance, I have no report there.
Okay, thank you. Computer, Ross.
Let me just switch my thing here. So we did receive the computer for the alarm room. I installed that. It works perfectly, much better. It stays on. It doesn't have any issues. It was a good purchase. So good that I'm recommending for this month to buy the exact same computer, which is here, for the training room. In the training room, the computer that's used in there is a laptop that runs Vista, which is about a 12 year old operating system. So old, in fact, that Rick Menaki couldn't upgrade it. Having a desktop type computer in there, seeing we've been leaving that laptop in there for the last several years, having a desktop computer would be fine. That's really just dedicated to that room and that that screen. This computer that we have, that I'm recommending as well, also has lots of inputs for USB drives, which when somebody's doing training, they'll typically put it on a USB drive. So, or if somebody comes in to do a presentation for us, they usually have it on that. So it's got like 8 USB drives and you can kind of see them in there. But I thought for the price, I think the price went up a little bit this month. I think we paid like $190 or $180 last month, but it didn't go up that much. But I'm going to recommend that we purchase this computer. We do the protection program on it for $33. We would need a monitor in there. Yes, we use the projection screen. But typically, if you're going to present, you would have a monitor in front of you as well as, the projection. So for this is just a $90 cheap, monitor for that system. So for a total of $328 before tax, Jeff would have to submit for the $26 in reimbursement. So I have that. And then the other is the network router upgrade that Rick Menachie had sent me back in the beginning of the year. So if you remember last year, Rick put in the two new wireless devices. Those are running right now at half power. They're only running on the 2.4 gigahertz band. They are not using the 5 gigahertz band, which they are also capable of, because right now they're underpowered because of the router, the power over Ethernet switch / router that we have there to power them. So this device here, the Cisco device, would replace the current router that we have. That is essentially the brain of our network. And it's also the device that keeps having hiccups. And probably Angel and certainly John and Jeff will tell you that when I get the call and say, hey, the network's down, I go in and I tell them to unplug that device and plug it back in, and then it works again. So this would replace that. That router is getting old. It's, you know, again, I'm sure it's 5 years or older. It also, that device has the firewall and the other security protection. So getting a new one would allow us to essentially invest in the newer firewall technology. So the combination estimate for that is $717 with $567 of it being the device, and then $150 installation from Rick. So those are the two computer items that I have for this one.
How is our computer budget? What's our situation with that?
Jeffrey?
Right now we have $1,534.40 available.
Okay. Great.
So, and I just got a text from Dave. His laptop just overheated again. So,
oh, geez.
He'll be back soon. He said, keep going. So anyway, and I think that would be under new business. Oops, I deleted that out. I'll bring that back up. Any question? Any questions on those two items?
I think they're both, I think they're all needed. I mean, obviously things are, we're falling behind in what we need to do there. So I think it's a good recommendation.
Okay. All righty. I guess, anybody want to play chair, or should I just, I'll move us down this list until Dave comes back.
Okay. Sounds
personnel.
Good. A couple things on personnel. First of all, I'd like to thank both Angel and Brad for working so well together. A lot of communication back and forth. Angel and I are on the phone a couple of times a day, keeping up to date with what's going on. And I think we've kept the building in good shape, trying to keep it as clean and germ-free as possible, keeping the outside looking good. So I do want to thank both of them for that. And I want to thank the chief and Commissioner Thornhill for coming over when things needed to be taken a look at. I think we're doing okay under the circumstances. I did talk to Angel today. I don't know what the governor, listened to the governor's speech today, and we're 6 out of 7 in order to go into phase one. And Ross and I were talking before, phase one will be met when we have the tracers in place and they've been trained. And as I said before in the meeting, phase one means that construction, at least from what I read, construction and manufacturing can be open. So I had talked to Angel about scheduling her to come back into the firehouse June 1st I thought that would give us a little bit of time to see how all this is going to play out, and if it continues to work, that we continue in phase one. The one recommendation I would like the board to consider, I'd like to temporarily move her out of her office into the desk in the boardroom where she worked out of when we renovated that office. She was in there. And the reason I feel that strongly about this recommendation is that when a vendor comes in, or the chief, or a fire, or whatever she has to deal with, she's got some space between her and the person that's in the office, space that she would not have in her office. And that way, Jeff, if he's in there working, or if John is in there, they're by themselves, she's over in the other location. So I would like the any input into that. That would be my recommendation. And like Clem said, we got to take kind of small steps to try to get back to things being normal. And if construction opens up, we probably have 4 or 5 vendors that are coming in to do work in the firehouse that needs to get done. And I think this way we would ensure it. And the other thing I'd like the board to consider is, and I don't know if this is an official policy change, but that all people coming into the firehouse need to have a mask on. I know when I go to the chiropractor, you don't get in there if you don't have a mask on. And most people are really good about it. A lot of people aren't. And I think that would be a concern as we open the building a little bit more, that we protect everybody in there. So that would be, I don't know how that would come about, if it's just enough to put a sign in the door or if it has to be an official policy change until this situation rectifies itself. But that's my personnel report and my recommendations.
I think it's a great idea for her to use the boardroom. And also with regard to masks, yeah, certainly, let's do a sign, and we could even, you know, even if we have a couple of masks that sit aside in case somebody doesn't bring one, there for us to.
Ross, I had asked Angel to, I know you can get the regular, just ordinary plain mask a little more easier than before. And I had asked her to look into that and order some for herself. And for, like you said, if a vendor comes without one, here you go. You know, you're welcome to come in, but we want you to have a mask on.
All right, Dave sent a text that, Mike, there was a late something. Jeff sent a late email about payroll. Jeff, anything that we needed to address there?
The late email was just having Beth and Dave review the time cards for this week, and that's been done.
Right. I sent you that earlier today, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Thank you. My late email was simply trying to get this pay period's time cards approved. That's all.
I know. Don't ever hesitate.
So that's been resolved.
Okie dokie. Anything else for personnel?
No, that's it, Russ.
All right, on to policies. Mike, do you have anything while Dave's out?
No, I don't have anything.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, I don't have anything either. Let's see, apparatus. You got anything for apparatus?
No, I don't.
All right.
The only thing I would add in that, Ross, is that we did send out a spec for the new 230, and hopefully we'll get that committee in a Zoom meeting here within the next couple of weeks and start moving forward with that as well.
Fantastic. And everybody saw the updates that you had as well on your chief's report for apparatus. Use of station.
Yes, I have two pieces of information on that. Angel has been in contact with the Board of Elections, and many of you probably got your cards in the mail today. It is scheduled for June 23rd. Originally, the governor had canceled the primary, And I don't know who, what group or whatever, but they went to court and the court said, no, you can't cancel that. You have to give the people a chance to vote. So we are scheduled for June 23rd. I have talked to Brad about working that day so that we've got him in the building and going after making sure everything is clean and so forth. Mike, I didn't know if you were still up for opening up the building on that day.
Yeah, we'll see. Yep.
Okay. And I don't know, you know, things could change. But as for now, Angel has it on the calendar, and she did talk to the lady, and she's got a contact person down there. I know we read it in the paper, but I like for her to talk to the people directly so that we make sure that we're on the same page. The other question I had, Suzanne, you had brought up the pancake breakfast that was scheduled, I believe, for Father's Day.
Right. And of course, I don't know anything about it now, and it gets closer. The reason that they are having it, the invitation to, I think it's a field hockey tournament in
right.
the area that by invitation. And of course, if that gets canceled, they won't need to fundraise.
Right.
And I do that.
I'm thinking that because it's a school related function, it might automatically be canceled.
Right. That's true too.
Because the school is shut down to the end of the year. If you could just kind of check on that and let me know.
Yep.
Okay. That'd be great. That's a shame if that has, but yep. that's what's going on. Okay. Those are the two things I have with a use of station.
Okay, Beth, so I have an updated letter from the Board of Elections. I just want to make sure that Angel has all three of the individual dates. June 23rd is the actual election, but the voting machines are being delivered on June 17th, and they want poll sites set up to take place on the 22nd, the day before the election. I just want to make sure that Angel has all of those dates in place.
Okay, Angel.
Yeah, I didn't get that email, but I'll put it on the calendar.
No, this is a hard copy letter. What I'll do is I'll scan it and email it to you.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
It was mailed to us. So
I'll
scan it and email, and you'll have all the individual
there
dates.
And
Mike, I hate to tell you, but they want the building open at 5 a.m. So just saying.
There seems to be lots of confusion down there. I mean, I think that they're hearing different things from different offices. So I appreciate you sending that forward to her, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you want a copy of it too, Beth?
That'd be great.
Okay. I'll send it to both of you.
Okay.
All right. So also, Beth, just I fielded a call today at my house from a past member. Looking at use of station, actually looking at the use of the pavilion. I mentioned that the biggest issue is that the person wasn't a member anymore. So I think they are not going to submit anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Next is payroll clock.
Payroll has been fine. Jeff is great about sending me the copy of Angel and Brad's payroll. And then I have been approving it and signing my name as commissioner so that he's attaching that, if I'm correct, Jeff, for the purposes of an audit, because usually we have to come in and sign it. So that has worked out great. And I appreciate Jeff's help in that.
Yeah, I do attach your email approval to the time cards.
Right. So we're good to go with that, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
All right. Next is accident review board. And so I'll apologize, Mike. I apologize. And to John and Mike Boisclair, I did get, after the meeting last month, Clem sent me his narrative on that accident review, the accident that was had. And I had meant to send that out and just forgot. So I will immediately following this meeting, send you what he sent me. And then perhaps the four of us can get together by a phone call and just do a review and provide a report for the next meeting. Does that work for everybody?
Yep.
Yep.
Good with me. Thank you.
Yep.
I'm back, by the way.
Oh, Dave's back. Very good.
All right. Yes. You can tell why they gave me new equipment, right?
Yes. And I have not been notified of any other accidents since that one. Unless anybody else received anything, that's the only one we'll be reviewing. All right, so we're on to LOSAP Audit Committee.
I have nothing new to report outside of what was on the last report, that we're still earning 3%, correct, Jeffrey?
Yeah, that's the minimum. We will earn a market rate if the market ever gets better, but the floor, the absolute minimum we can earn is 3%. So if the market takes off and we can earn 4.5%, that'll happen. That hasn't happened in years, but we are a minimum of 3%. So that will always be our floor.
Perfect. Legislative, anything? No. Anything new on the consolidation?
I don't have anything new on consolidation.
Okay. All right, so that's the end of the committee reports. Is there any other reports that we missed before we move on to old unfinished business? No? Okay. Under old unfinished business, I don't know if this is where the... I believe because we had talked about it and you had gotten one quote, Beth, is this where we talk about the fencing or do we follow that up because we have some new stuff? Do we put it all under new business?
I think it's under new business.
Okay, perfect. Anybody have anything under old unfinished business?
Other than the fact that you still need to approve my treasurer's report.
That's new because it's a new month, right?
All right, that typically had been done after the treasurer had presented the report. Abstract would be approved under new business.
Oh, okay. All right, so we will. Do I have anyone that wishes to approve the treasurer's report?
Do we add the approval of payment to all type professional doors, Jeff, or is that separate?
That's separate.
Okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely separate. Yep.
I make a motion that we approve the treasurer's report.
I'll second that.
Beth?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Under new business, we have to approve. Well, let's start with this. I have the numbers here. I lost everything off my desktop. I had it all set up there. For the computer, and also the router, there was two separate things there. The computer was $204.99 and the monitor was $90 for a total of $328.97. Do we wish to approve that?
I'd really like you to approve the $355.29 because we're going to pay that sales tax. And when I request the refund, if the state decides they're not going to refund it, then it doesn't come back. I still like the gross amount being approved, please.
Okay. Does anyone like to make a motion to approve the $355.29? Hopeful we would get back the $26.32 at a later date.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Beth?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay. And then also to fix the router, well, not fix it, but to enhance the router to give it to full capability, there is a quote of $717.99. Would anybody like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion again.
And I'll second that.
Ross?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Okay.
Both of those will come out of 461, Angel.
Thank you.
I have that. Jeffrey, you're going to have to help me with those. I have that on my desktop, and that's all gone. So, good. Thank you.
No problem.
Now, we have the, I think that, Ross, you have it for the door. Did you have that?
Hold on a second. It came in as another email, right?
Yes.
From Jeff, right? Let me see. Yep. I can do that.
Angel, this will come out of Beth's account.
Yes. Just assume it does.
Right.
Okay, I need
Angel's
a.
Angel's not going to answer that question.
401.
This is, we need a motion for the maintenance of the overhead doors, the 8 overhead doors and exit doors for the labor and minor parts. And that balance due is $1,895. This is to be added to the abstract. Correct, Jeffrey? Is that how I put that?
It's going to end up on abstract number 6, but since it's approved tonight, it'll have a little asterisk next to it, but it'll be part of abstract 6. It's being approved independently right now.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Would anybody like to make that motion?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Ross.
Yes.
Beth.
Yes.
Mike. Sue. I'm sorry, Mike.
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And now the, for the, I need a motion for the fencing. There was 3 separate prices, $295 to fix the fencing from the snowplow on the entry side, as well as the $857 and then the $1,357 for the fencing repair all the way up the exit side of the fencing for a total of $2,527.
Correct.
Is that correct?
$1,375 is going to be on the exit side. That's just transpose number.
Oh, it's
$1,357? $1,357.
No, I got $1,375 on the actual hard copy in front of me.
Okay, then I made a mistake. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
So the total would be, Jeffrey?
The total is 2,527. That is correct.
Okay, I just wrote that part down wrong. I'm sorry.
The individual item, you just transpose the number.
That right, way. Right. I make a motion to approve the bid from Precision Fencing for $2,527 for fence repairs.
I'll second that.
Beth.
Yes.
Ross.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Thank you. And that's 401?
That's correct.
Okay. We have also, we have to approve the abstract. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the abstract?
So moved.
I'll make that. I'll second that.
Ross.
Yes.
Beth.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Thank you.
I know it's there somewhere. I know Ross had it. Or it's on the chief's report. The purchase of 4, it was the rakes. Just didn't remember the brush fire rakes. Oh, and I got the line item. Thank you, Chief. 3410201. So that would be total of 4 at 50 each for $200.
So moved.
Second.
Ross.
Yes.
Beth.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was your only one, Chief?
That was it.
Okay.
Quite honestly, we've been slowly chipping away at the EMS budget with supplies, trying to get masks and things of that nature. That's kind of been our focus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Did I miss anything there?
Not on there. I have another, I don't know if it's a new business item or not. It has to do with last month's, our last month's executive session, but I don't know if we have to vote on.
I forgot to ask for an executive session, so we'll just say that. We'll just go to that afterward, and you can.
Okay. Well, just so like the company voted that person in, so if we just have to vote them in, we have to vote them in an open session. So, I'd be happy to make the motion.
Okay, we don't have to go to executive session. We can do it right now.
Okay, and Dave's kicked off again, by the way.
Okay.
So
Ross, could you take that boy computer shopping?
Yeah, I know. he does have an iPad, so you know you could use the iPad we gave him. So at the company meeting, and John, are you still on? Do you want? I can explain it. Per the board's request. Based on the information we were provided back, Bill Lamb had to submit a letter to the company requesting that he continue to be a member because his domicile had moved, so his residence had moved. The company did that, so the company voted at last week's meeting to continue him as a member. So we then have to vote here again?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So... I'll make a motion to continue Bill as a member of the East Level Fire District number 3.
I'll second that.
Ross.
Yes.
Beth.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
And Dave's not on, right?
Dave is.
Okay.
Dave's computer is not working.
You know, Suzanne, if this was you or me, there'd be a big to-do about this, right? Oh, yeah, we'd have to hear about it.
Well, now you guys have something to hold over Dave.
That's right. That's right.
Do we have anything else we have to do? Let's see. Votes on bills to be paid. Did we do all of that stuff?
I think so.
Jeff, did we do the resolutions on the budget?
None to be made this month.
Okay. We voted on the bills to be paid?
Yep, that's all done.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have anything else that they want to cover?
I would like to have the chief thank the company for us for all their efforts. And I tell you, it's the biggest thing in this neighborhood when the fire truck comes through for some youngster's birthday. I think that's awful nice of you guys to take that time and all the extra work to keep the building clean. And the Ross, for you taking the fire trucks down to Schenectady Community College, thank you. And just pass that along. I'd appreciate that.
Will do. It's definitely a team effort. And everybody putting in, supporting everybody else. So we'll certainly pass that along. And that includes the board support as well. So thank you.
All right. Do we want to give, there are two attendees. If either of the attendees want to talk, I guess raise your hand. I could switch them. All right. Neither of them are raising their hand, which is a good sign. I guess they're probably asleep. does anybody want to make a motion to go into executive session, or is everybody good?
We're all good.
Okay. Oh, look at that. Dave came back just for the end.
Jeez.
Oh, this is voice coming in. Oh, no, he came in and then he left. All right, so I guess we just need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion to adjourn.
Yeah, I guess I'll second.
Ross.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Sue.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So let me.
Very good.
I love Zoom meetings.